Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined in the studio by Sam Gowland. He is from Geordie Shore. He was in Love Island. He's a big Borough fan, proper Borough fan, and was great on good form, wasn't he?
He was on good form, and we ended up talking about Palmos.
We did, yeah, and he suddenly got very... You know, I think he might be off to make one tonight.
I think I am, actually.
A little Borough delicacy. We also had the book club. We talked about Moneyball. Luke Moore was back, and you'll hear some of that.
Our bits.
Yeah,
and
he
went
through
items.
The NFL Combine tryout, kind of, as you'll hear, amongst other things.
Yeah.
We had a bit of a birthday spread. So here it all is.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Paul. And the Burnley bench were alleged to have insulted Sarri last night. I'm surprised they could tell which part of the stadium the abuse was coming from. Honestly, it's just beyond, isn't it? What a chance to really... I mean, it still would have been difficult even if they'd won last night, but it was a great opportunity. Everybody else lost and, you know, Burnley, they did what Burnley do, but... And to
are you
be
giving
fair
them a heart? Are you calling them anti-football?
No. And to be fair, Burnley have collected more points, won more points since Boxing Day than Chelsea have, so you can't really complain about that. No, I've got nothing to say about Burnley other than well done. They defended well. They did what Burnley do, you know, so...
Yeah,
they did waste a lot of time, and so many of their players got injured, but, you know, who can blame them? They needed a point, and they got a point, so that's the way it was down to Chelsea to break them down, and just the half-time substitute was just substitution of Kovacic was ridiculous.
Mm.
At this stage of the year... You've only got four games left, you know, including, or even with the Europa League, maybe you've got five games left in all. You just play your best players. It doesn't matter if they've played on Thursday. It doesn't matter when, how many minutes they've
played. Yeah, but it was Monday after Thursday, which was less of a strain, isn't it?
His idea, he was asked about Giroud and he said, oh no, he can't play twice in a week. He's 90 kilos. Like, that makes a difference. He's absolutely... But he overthinks everything, and he's got these... So I presume he thought Barkley had played a lot of minutes or Barkley was this or that. But it was clear, needing a goal, you don't bring on a bloke that's got no goal threat whatsoever. He can't put a through ball in. He's never going to score a goal, and he can't cross it. So, I mean, he's brilliant at passing it backwards 5 yards. He's wonderful at that.
Right, OK.
That's his skills.
Which is an art in itself,
well,
really.
It is very much. So it's a sort of perfect storm for Chelsea, really. Now, absentee owner, star player leaving, his heir apparent out till December, ageing defence, rubbish manager, and the Europa League, which basically does you league forming completely. I mean, they've lost four and drawn two after Europa League games, and it's just... You know, it affects your season, so you don't want to be in it again.
What's happening with Sarri? Do you think, what are you hearing then from your Chelsea contacts?
I have no idea.
He's going to stick around or?
I'd be amazed. He's wanted back in Italy, so with a bit of luck, I think Chelsea will get off for having to pay him off. Because, I mean, really, he's just not up to it. I mean, I think they've got the third best squad and probably the 20th worst manager in the league.
Wow.
That's what I think. I mean, just the things he does, that this second half-itis thing, you know, they listed it in the Times on Friday morning after what happened on Thursday night. And I think it's happened 8 times. They've given a goal away within 10 minutes of half-time and often two.
Yeah.
And that's just something, you know, that... shouldn't happen all the time. It's something that keeps happening.
And you had a lot of time to get the winner, didn't you? I mean, basically, it was after about 20 minutes this was all sewn up, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, they're never going to score in the second half. You know, they don't. They just don't do that, especially with the substitutions he makes. And he never changes his tactics. He never changes. I mean, the only thing that keeps them in it is just everybody else's form. And what a weekend. I mean, Arsenal, that was a disastrous result for them. Brilliant by Palace.
Yeah.
Brilliant away win, but for Arsenal, it was poor.
Christian Benteke got his sighter against us a couple of weeks back.
I made a note a few weeks ago that Benteke is coming back to form.
He's getting good positions, yeah.
You can feel it, and that was a decent game. The funny thing in the Sunday Times, though, the players' marks for the City-Spurs game.
Yeah.
City, 73 out of 110. Spurs, 74 out of 110.
Hello?
How does that work? They lost the game.
They did, really.
They deserved a point, but that's not the thing.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. There was quite a few under-par performances. We're going to have a look at the Tottenham-Brighton game. It's live on TalkSport. Ray Houghton will join us a little bit later on. And we saw against Wolves, obviously Brighton fighting for their lives. And as you said about Burnley, needs must, and they'll do what they have to do. Yeah. And they'll try and break it up and slow it down. It's all about an early goal.
They were fortunate, though.
Wolves had very good chances as well against Brighton. So it's all a bit... Tottenham were to get an early goal, I think all bets would be off. But the longer it goes on, could be frustrating. So we'll see what happens tonight.
It is interesting with Wolves how their record, we noted this early in the season, their record against the top six compared to the bottom six is amazing.
Yeah.
But it is the way they play.
Well, because they're much better when teams come on to them, really.
So they have to solve that for next season. So,
yeah, that's a different way of playing.
Another poor result for Eddie Howe. But I've noticed that Ralph Hasenhüttl. He wears his very skin-tight tractor. It's like a diving suit.
I know.
Just needs the little goggles.
I think it is a wetsuit.
It's a wetsuit.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah. Didn't your son once wear a wetsuit on a very cold night to a football match?
Yeah, I had this idea.
He had something over the top of it, didn't he?
Yeah, but he couldn't go to the loo the whole game because he couldn't get it off.
Like Spider-Man, was he?
He was desperate by the time he got home.
And we're going to ask the listeners this afternoon about a bad sporting run. I don't know if you've seen this story. Ashton Turner...
In the IPL, it's tremendous, isn't it? And he dropped a catch.
That's right. The Australian cricketer, first man in T20 history to make five consecutive ducks as he fell first ball in the IPL. Third successive IPL golden duck for the 26-year-old. Rajasthan Royals, how much they paid for him, I bet they're absolutely delighted, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So he's having an absolute mare.
He's one of those players, though. There are a few in the IPL where you look at him and go, how's he playing in the IPL? This brilliant competition with these absolutely world-class people playing.
Maybe it's like his dad's in charge of the IPL. It could be one of
them. Some of the finishes. The Chennai game on the weekend was fantastic. MS Dhoni hit a six. I think it was off Jofra Archer. Hit it out the ground. I mean, he hit it 111 metres. I've never seen a ball hit like this.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. But they lost on the final ball. It's just been a brilliant IPL this year.
Can you match a sporting run like poor old Ashton Turner? Five ducks. Goal is ducks in a row. So if you could let us know in any sport, if you had a particularly terrible run of something quite awful.
Yeah, sorry, probably said it's because he weighs 90 kilos.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yeah, time for the book club every week. We look at a different sports book of varying vintages. And I think Luke's showing the camera too, isn't he?
That one. Holding it up.
We're talking about a book, a huge bestseller, a book that had a huge influence as well on the way people do their business, not just in baseball, but in other sports. It is based in baseball. It's called Moneyball by Michael Lewis and Luke Moore, of course, from the Football Ramble and the season ticket here on TalkSport. Is back to guide us through it. Hi, Luke.
Good afternoon to you both, first and foremost. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
These weeks come around quick, don't they?
They do. Yeah. I'd forgotten, looking at it again, because I read it the first time around and seen the film, I'd forgotten how technical it was. It's quite a technical book, isn't it, in terms of...
It is.
I know it applies to a lot of sports and the principles and the story are very interesting.
Yeah.
But the actual stats and all that, you have to sort of wade through that a little bit.
So I think, I mean, it's probably best if we do this in two parts. One is the book itself, and I'll give you a bit of a précis of it in a second, but secondly the sort of universal themes that can be gleaned from it from different sports and because look, no one in this room, possibly no one in this building or city, knows less about baseball than me. It's important to stress that to start with, but a lot of the themes, as you've alluded to, are quite universal. But yeah, it's quite stat heavy. I mean, really, Michael Lewis, who is chiefly a, I suppose you'd call him a business writer, but he looks at the human stories within business and innovation and all that kind of stuff. So he also wrote The Big Short, which was converted into a movie. He's one of these super authors whose every book he writes gets optioned into a Hollywood movie. So he's had The Blind Side, but he wrote about American football, which I think has also turned into a movie, possibly starring Sandra Bullock. Moneyball is also a movie starring Brad Pitt.
Now, the poker book as well, didn't he?
He did, yes. Yeah. I've not seen the Moneyball movie as much as I haven't seen the book we did last week and the movie of that as well. It's a book club, not a movie club, so I'm off the hook, I think.
I think the movie's criticised because it departs from the book and has inaccuracies in it to make work as a Hollywood.
It does have Brad Pitt, though, which kind of cushions the blow.
Covers a multitude
eyes.
Of sins, doesn't it?
Does.
It?
Yeah.
So Michael Lewis, who's on record as saying that he's always looking for stories, little things that he can buy into and tell the story of to his readership. And he said the inspiration for writing this book, Moneyball, about the Oakland Athletic baseball team is how do one of the poorest teams in baseball in terms of financial, I mean, poor in a financial sense, and win so many games. And it ends up focusing on a guy called Billy Beane, who is this non-traditional, think outside the box, go against the grain kind of guy, and the analytical mind, if you like, behind the success of the Oakland A's, who are a Major League Baseball team on a quest to become successful despite their small budget. Now what it comes down to is eschewing scouts and their kind of learned eyes and the establishment and you can see how this relates to the bigger sport in this country, football, the more I talk, forgetting the traditional way of assessing good players, i.e. an old guy who maybe used to be a baseball player, goes and watches a couple of kids and says, oh, that guy's going to be good, that guy's not going to be very good. And really, that's the start and end of it for a lot of this traditional way of analysing players and looking at potential prospects. Billy Beane becomes aware of some work done by a number of statisticians, but namely a guy from Kansas called Bill James, who now, by the way, is senior advisor to the Boston Red Sox. This revolutionised the whole sport, this movement.
And affected Liverpool, we'll come on to.
Yeah, we'll come on to that. Mm. Using this thing called sabermetrics, which basically means that a lot of the traditional ways of analysing baseball through stats from back in the 19th century are actually, to all intents and purposes, proven over and over again to not really be that efficient. So what Bill James does, this statistician who Billy Beane ends up working with, he develops his own set of stats saying these things are a lot more relevant to getting success, to winning games. And the key thing is win as many games as you can with the smallest financial outlay possible. So the A's themselves had no budget to speak of, really, and weren't by traditional measures going to be able to compete with the bigger teams without becoming a lot more efficient. Namely, they had to find a new, different way of finding players that other teams would overlook. It's about doing things differently, about finding an advantage, considering things that other people maybe haven't considered, and giving yourself an advantage because of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different things that come from it. I mean, some people say it's fantastic and they bought into it and they use it, but there's others that kind of look deeper into the story and say it didn't really have sustained success, did it, for the Oakland A's? It didn't revolutionise them as a club as such.
So Billy Beane, who's the subject of the book mostly, and Michael Lewis, who wrote the book, would say in response to that, that's not the point. Mm. The point is to trust in the method. The method is no one is really going to be successful in a big sport every single year. No one wins things every single year. I mean, that doesn't happen very often. So the point is, in order for us to be able to compete, we don't have $150 million a year to spend on players like the New York Yankees have. We have this amount of money, so we need to find an edge. The fact that we don't win every year is not important. What's important is we can still compete spending the money that we only have access to. Billy Beane sort of was a prospect as a baseball player himself. He never really fulfilled his potential, and he kind of turns himself into a case study, saying that really baseball teams are looking at the wrong metrics, and he actually quite sort of self-deprecatingly says, what I'm trying to do now is avoid players just like me. who scouts looked at me and thought I was a physical specimen, I could do stuff at high school, my technique was pretty sound, and people trusted me to go through and become successful. But actually, my numbers were declining year on year, but people were ignoring that because they thought, actually, these other things are more important. So although the book is very stat heavy, and it does involve a decent understanding of baseball to the extent of where you might need to go and reference things and look it up and find it out, I do think the universal themes are pretty interested. There's enough there to hang your hat on because it does cross over into other sports. Because the full name of the book, of course, is The Art of Winning an Unfair Game. How do you get yourself an advantage when you haven't had bestowed upon you the riches and the traditional size of club that means you can go and win things pretty easily?
The trouble is maintaining that advantage, and this is another criticism, is kind of lost a bit of that edge because everybody's doing it. It's like everything else, isn't it? Effectively, the book almost did for the A's, did for Billy Beane, because it put the story out there, didn't it?
Yeah, this updated version has got a new afterword in it. And the afterword is obviously written by Michael Lewis, who says, you know, the first few years after we put this book out, the establishment, he calls them the club, the people who are a member of this, either the commentary out of baseball or a coach or part of the establishment, initially just started saying, well, this is rubbish. This is a load of old rubbish. I don't need someone to tell me the stats. I can tell you if a player's going to be good or not, blah, blah, blah. And then exactly what you've referenced there, Paul, happens. These people start getting offered jobs. Billy Beane gets offered a job at the Red Sox on the biggest salary for a chief executive at a club that's ever been offered. He almost takes it, ends up not taking it because he said the only time he ever made a decision about money and money alone was the worst decision of his life. So he ends up staying. But they do hire someone who's never played the game before, who is a disciple of Billy Beane. The guy, Bill James, whose statistics are at the genesis of all this, is now an advisor for the Red Sox. So they, regardless of what they said, regardless of how much they've rallied against it, they are all using these ideas now. They are all using these personnel now.
And it's worked in baseball. The Yankees haven't won the World Series since 2009, and they have the biggest budget and spend the most money, and it doesn't guarantee because other teams are using this. Michael Calvin, though, interestingly writes about this battle between the statsmen and the grizzled old scouts in one of his books, which is fascinating. And so it's a very similar thing where this thing of, you know, this gut feeling where, you know...
It's called the Nowhere Men, right?
Yeah, that's right. And you sort of, I don't know about you as a fan, you look at a player and you have a gut feeling about that player, and he's good.
Like, yeah,
and I looked at Hudson Odoi when he was a kid, and I went, he's definitely got it, you know. And you think, I could do this. But it's better to back it up with the stats.
And for his part, Billy Beane kind of doesn't necessarily have a problem with that. I think what he does think, though, is that's no way to run a business, right? That's no way to run something that you're supposed to be successful at. He actually compares it to fund managers. He says, it's all about evaluating skills and putting a price on them. 30 years ago, stockbrokers used to buy a stock strictly by feel. Let's put it this way. Anyone has a choice. They can choose a fund manager who manages their retirement by gut instinct or one who chooses by research and analysis. And I know which one I would choose.
Absolutely.
So I think he thinks that's okay, but really, to get a consistent bit of success and find the right players, you do need to do a bit more than that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
The NFL Combine.
You want to do that first? Okay,
I was going to ask you a couple of questions.
Yep.
Because the players go along, young, great college footballers go along, hoping to catch the eye at the Combine of scouts from all the various NFL clubs. But it's always been a very weird thing. They put very, very odd questions to them, which do seem quite strange. For example, Andy, I might put some of these to you.
Okay, I'm ready.
And see what you come back with. Because I take it these have all been, the boffins have looked at these and they will tell you something about a person. So if you were a fruit, what kind of fruit would you be?
Pineapple.
Why?
Why? Well, sort of a bit old and gnarly, a bit knobbly.
Okay.
But quite sweet on the inside.
Okay, you've overthought that.
I have a bit.
Are you afraid of clowns?
Only the one. Only the one managing Chelsea at the moment.
Okay, yeah. That's why I was going to ask you, one of the questions they asked somebody went along for the combine, they're basically they're trying to become footballers, of course, and they asked somebody, if you could kill anyone and get away with it, who would it be? I don't want you to answer that today.
I don't think I could even answer that question. It's a horrible question.
It is a terrible question.
It's like saying you want somebody dead. It's a really poor question.
I know,
question.
They shouldn't ask kids who are effectively going to be playing.
They should ask anybody
football.
That question. It's quite a deranged question, I would have said.
They've also got this thing that often comes up and to the point where I wonder if they even prepare for it. They say, they ask him about what he could do with a brick. Things that he could do with a brick in a minute. And how many, I think the Cleveland Browns asked this question of a player. So you've got a minute to tell me how many things you could do with a brick. So can you think of any?
You could make it an art installation.
Yeah.
You could draw on it. You could
draw on it. Who wants to draw on a brick?
Well, I would. You can make it into a part of a wall.
Yeah, build things. I'd say is number one.
Small part of a wall.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just, I don't know. That's about it, really. What else would you?
You're not going to get
in
the
stand
Browns.
On it.
You're not going to get in the Browns, are you? You could stand. Build things. Extremely heavy paperweight was the answer.
That's
smash
good.
Stuff like windows.
Oh yeah.
Kill a person. It's quite dark, this, isn't it?
What, somebody that I could get away with killing.
Yeah. Drop it on someone's foot. Just some of the things you can do with a brick. Hold open a door. Stabilize a lopsided table. You could cook brick roasted chicken. Yeah. So if you want to play for the... these have all got to come to mind.
What is brick roasted chicken?
I don't know. We'll have to get somebody in who can tell us. They asked one player at a combine whether he thought his mother was attractive. Wow, that's weird.
That is a weird question.
Why is this going to make you a better footballer? It does seem odd, doesn't it? Yeah.
Bit odd, really, I'd say. But, Worth the effort.
But the trouble is some of the boys that are going through this system, of course, have come from quite troubled backgrounds. Mm. So they were asked, apparently they said, what did your father do? He said, my dad was a pimp. And he said, okay, what did your mum do? He said, she worked for my dad. It's a bit... And they said, so your mum was a prostitute. He said, no, she wasn't a prostitute. Like a Marx Brothers, like a dark Marx Brothers film. But anyway, we move on. This is
that
the
wasn't
sort of
the
stuff.
Answer I gave.
No, I'm sure it wasn't. Anyway, so if you want to be an NFL player, do your homework. I think that's the key.
We're talking of tasteless. A Labour councillor faces a probe after dressing up as Adolf Hitler for a fancy dress party. It's okay, Wayne Hennessy thought he was Blakey from On the Buses.
Yes.
And Theresa May was a marshal at a road race at the weekend. Imagine the runners are still trying to find their way home, be my guess.
Quite possibly,
and talking of that, a French woman ran the London Marathon in high heels.
She did.
Her name was Christelle Doyon-Behir, which is quite strange.
Christine don't want to be here.
Exactly.
That's why I said.
Doyon-Behir, age 34. Finished in a respectable time of just over 6 hours, and they were proper strappy slingback heels. I mean,
it's the world record. 6 hours, 4 minutes, and 7 seconds.
It's quicker than the Moose. I don't know if he was wearing high heel shoes when he did it.
Yeah, that's a sight to behold. I think he walked it in 8 hours, didn't he?
He did, really, yeah.
Have you heard about Thomas Meunier's expensive football table?
No.
Yeah. Thomas Meunier, of course.
Rugby?
No.
Who is he?
He's a Belgian international.
Oh, really?
Thomas
Meunier.
Plays for PSG.
Oh, is he? Yeah, I can't think of it. He's a right back, is he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I thought his name was Mark. Okay, never mind. Okay, Thomas. Yeah.
Yeah. He has bought this thing, and it cost him, I think he's now sold it, £82,500 it is, made of solid aluminium, features 22 stars, including Ronaldo, Cruyff, Messi, Maldini and Zidane. It's got a leather pitch.
Leather pitch.
Yeah, and ad hoardings for lots of
designer Sabutia.
World Cup brands.
Yeah.
He's got a company, an art company, and he sold the table to a private buyer. Mixing football and art is the way to link these two worlds, says Thomas. I bet it's a big wow in the dream. A bit like you, yeah, with your doodles. talking of David Squires, who does an excellent cartoon, occasionally speak to on the show in The Guardian, has done a very good Wayne Hennessy take the cartoon this week. So go and check it out. It's very funny.
Danny and Hart says...
Brick-roasted chicken.
Brick-roasted chicken. You cover the brick in foil and place the brick on the chicken on a barbecue. Make it flat and crispy.
Yeah, you're going to have to try that, aren't you? Mm,
okay, that's
nice.
Good.
Well done, Danny. Thank you very much.
Do you want a quick T20 birthday spread?
Yeah, I've got to try and guess the age.
You've got to guess the age of this person. Yeah. I think this is quite a tricky one. I shall give you a margin of 10.
Okay.
Okay, 10 years out. It's the birthday of the High Court Judge and presiding judge of the Wales Circuit, Sir Simon Picken.
Sir Simon Picken.
Yeah, he's gone into business, actually, supplying sweets for Woolworths with Mick McCarthy. Pick and mix.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's been a while, so some of the younger ones may struggle with that.
Somebody still does pick and mix, don't they?
I don't know. It may have died out with Woolworths.
I don't think it did. I think it's probably
what a great show.
Lived on. So Sir Simon Pick and Mix.
What does he do, this fella?
High Court Judge, presiding judge at Wales Circuit.
Okay. 68.
53. I'm terribly sorry.
Sorry, Simon, if you're listening. Is his name there. Simon? Sorry if you're listening.
Simon Picken.
That's right. Yes, a Simon Picken. I do apologise.
That's it.
Okay, that's it. You're done, are you?
Well, I think so. Although there was actually, I'll tell you what did amuse me this morning. Hmm. The royal family have released on the same day
a new album?
Photos. Not a new album. Right. William and Kate have released some pictures.
Wills.
Well, you know, I'm quite friendly with them. Have released some pictures of their young son, Louis.
Yeah.
And I think there's been Harry and Meghan have released on the same day, so it's caused a bit of a problem. Some images of, I don't even know what they are, really.
You're obviously quite close. You can't remember any of their names.
Exactly. Yeah. So, of course, the son have got Arthur Edwards, the royal photographer, to review them. And I love the fact that he always, you know, he's going to give them a good review. You know he's not going to say these look amateur and are fairly rubbish.
Yeah.
He's going to say, Kate's pictures are brilliant. She's captured the special moments with her children so well. She's taking a photo of her face. Taking portraits is an extremely difficult skill to master, and she does it superbly.
Of course.
She should be an inspiration to other mothers and fathers. Keep your cameras charged and ready. And I remember when Mario Testino took some pictures of the royal family.
Yeah.
And Arthur slagged...
He's pretty good, isn't he?
He slagged them off.
Yeah.
He said they weren't much. They weren't up to much. Well, amateurish, he reckoned.
He's got to keep on the right side of him. That's his bread and butter, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're joined in the studio by a nervy Borough fan, Sam Gowland. Your name from Geordie Shore and from Love Island. Hi, Sam.
How you doing? All right?
You were there yesterday at the match, yeah?
Yeah. It was interesting. I mean, I thought going to the game, I thought if we can get something out of this, I'd even maybe take a point. I thought we've got Reading, we've got Rotherham to play, and I thought we've got a good chance, but it's... I think it was the way Pulis set up yesterday. It was a bit, I don't know, there was just nothing there. We didn't create nothing. Obviously, Forrest had nothing to play for.
Yeah.
3-0, though.
Yeah, it's a big
guess. Honestly, yeah. You thought, 1-0 down, they got a penalty in the first half. I thought, well, second half, we might come out a bit. You made two subs at half-time, which, again, didn't really change anything. But I think the problem we had was, maybe it's the formation he's playing. Obviously, he's got the wing-backs playing, which is all good, but you need the people to be able to play in that position he had.
Mm.
I think he plays... Obviously, with injuries, before injuries, Ryan Shotton was right wing back and he's a centre half, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's sort of where we're coming on. So we've got George Friend on the left hand side, who's been brilliant for us. We've signed him for an absolute, we've got a steal when we signed him. But again, he's lost a yard of pace, so it's quite hard now when we're trying to go forward and break teams down. But I suppose if you want to go up the teams like Nottingham Forest, you need to be beaten at this stage of the season.
Yeah. I mean, how do you feel about Tony Pulis? I mean,
truthfully, when he got the job, I thought, you know what, a good experienced manager, we could be him with a chance. I fancied us to go up. But the more and more I'm going, the more I'm watching, I'm like, well, it's the same style of football. Mm. We're setting up very defensive. We're setting up not to get beat. Where a team like Middlesbrough, we're probably one of the biggest teams in the league, I'd say. We should be going there and we should be taking the game to people rather than sitting back, containing for 70 minutes, then try and nick something in the last 20. That's where I feel like we're going wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd won 3 in a row before yesterday's setback, so...
We've been playing all right. Obviously, we turned Hull over, but then, again, I was looking at the last three fixtures there. I thought Notts Forest is probably the hardest one, and we got beat, but I still think we'll nick sixth. We're still there. We've got two games left, obviously. I think it's Derby and Bristol City, but I think Bristol City will drop points. I think Derby, the team, maybe is like to watch, but I'm sure they've got tricky fixtures anyway.
Yeah, you could end up playing Leeds if you creep in sixth. Couldn't
imagine
you?
That one.
Interesting.
Leeds
yeah,
in
yeah.
the top two all season.
You definitely have to win your last two games.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're playing. You've got a game up at Leeds, talking to Leeds for next month, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got a game there. I've just come back from Belfast. I played there as well. Scored twice and then got a went to penalty, ended 4-4, so went to a penalty shootout. So I scored a penalty. So I'm claiming a trick, do you know what I mean? You'd have to, don't you?
And you're playing in these celebrity soccer games,
yes.
Fundraisers.
There's one on Sunday as well at Northampton. So we're okay. playing at Northampton, but the one at Leeds, yeah, the one at Leeds will be a big one.
So is this like a bit of kind of travelling circus of celebs who are playing all these matches and you kind of
yeah.
travel around the country?
We've got like
matches.
All different stadiums, there's a few different celebs. There's a few ex-pros in that plane, so we've played like Jermaine Pennant. He
right.
played, so when he turns it on, he can still turn it on. Like, but it's good, all for good causes as well.
Yeah,
it's always good playing with ex-pros.
Oh, you can see the difference. You think you've got a bit, don't you? And you step on the pitch and you're like, oh, well, actually, I don't.
Callum Best turns out in the games, and has he got a bit of the Best magic?
Good centre-back, you know, very good centre-back.
Really?
I thought, because I've never played him before, I thought he was going to be like a striker, maybe he's playing number 10. Seen him playing centre-half, I thought, I'll have him all day. Didn't get a single thing off him all day.
Well, that's in the genes.
Well, that's it, isn't it, yeah?
And Danny Dyer turns out as well.
Danny Dyer, yeah, holding midfielder. Right. Just sits there, picks passes.
Holding you by the throat, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I don't dare say a word to him.
And our old mate Jake Wood from EastEnders and the Pound for Pound.
Good little striker,
podcast.
You know.
Good player, yeah.
Yeah, he played in Belfast. I don't think he scored, but yeah, he was up front because I thought, he can't play football. And I seen him, I thought, well, he's actually all right.
When you're playing in something like this, are you obviously aware that people are going to come and watch? So do you train harder? Do you work harder at it?
I mean, I've always played football now since like a younger age, since like under 18, obviously, and stuff. But then I stopped playing. So when you go there, it's weird because you're a little bit nervous. Because when we played at Belfast, I think it was like 7,000 people there. So
yeah,
I sort of went to the gym and put a shift in, you know, like the weeks leading up to it. I thought, I can't let myself down here.
Sure.
Yeah, but you do have to train a little because it's quite a high standard with the ex-pros playing. Mm. You have to sort of keep up with them, you know.
What sort of standard did you play when you played?
Just Sunday League.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Sunday League. I've got my cousin is a professional footballer.
Mm.
So he's on loan at Bolton at the minute. So there's obviously quite a few good players in my family and stuff, but I wasn't quite that level.
Right. Now, Geordie Shaw, are you from Teesside?
Yeah,
a Borough fan. So it's a kind of broad church then. They allow, it's not, where Geordie, it's kind of northeast. They allow you in if you're...
Yeah.
If you're from Middlesbrough.
There's more people from Middlesbrough on it than there is Newcastle. Could change the name.
Is it like the only way is Essex? Is it the same sort of reality?
Yeah, it's like the same format and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, but we start filming again June, I think it is. So it's good fun doing that as well. It just takes toll on your body after however many weeks of...
Yeah. You did Love Island, didn't you?
Love Island as well.
It's a massive show, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Was it last year? Or maybe it was the year before. Yeah. Wasn't that 2017?
It's just got bigger and bigger, that show.
Oh, we didn't realise. We were on there and... I thought, I'm going back to like my normal job. I was a rigger beforehand. I thought, I'm going back to that. And you're on there and you come off and you're like, wow, everyone's recognising you, you know what I mean? You don't realise how big it is.
Yeah. And Geordie Shaw kind of came from that.
About four
really?
Weeks after it, yeah. So I'd been off Love Island for about 3 or 4 weeks, then got a phone call, saying, like, would you be interested in doing this? Had a few meetings, a few interviews, and then here we are now.
Yeah. You were in it the same year as Mike Thanasitis, wasn't
same
you?
Same as Mike, yeah.
That was a terrible story, and I think a lot of questions started to be asked about the support people get, because you said, you know, you were doing a regular 9-to-5 job.
Yep.
You go off and do a TV show in the sun.
Yeah,
you come back and your life's turned upside
100%,
down. 100%. That's quite difficult to cope with.
I was brilliant mate with Mike, so when I found out the news, I was like, I couldn't believe it, because... I was saying last week to somebody else, I was meant to go for food with him. I was playing football again Sunday. I was meant to go for food with him on the night. We both were busy, and then the next week, obviously, the news broke, and you don't expect it, but it's a wicked one. I mean, I've always been looked after, and I've had good care from both ITV and MTV, so I can't like speak highly enough of them. But I suppose when you get put in that position from going from nobody knowing you to everybody sort of knowing you, it's a tricky situation. Do you know what I mean? And I suppose if you're not having any work after you've done a show, that's like, well, do I go back to work? Are you a bit too high profile to go back to work? It's a really weird situation to be in.
Yeah, it's good that, as you said, you know, people are getting help if they need it, which is key, I think.
Yeah.
So if they got up, Borough, going back to Borough for a moment, if they did get up, Peter's has got a pretty decent track record of keeping teams there. So that's one good thing about sticking with him, isn't it, Rick?
Yeah, I mean, if they do stick with him, it's too late in the season now to get rid. West Brom done it, which I was a bit surprised with. But if Middlesbrough did get up, he's obviously very good at sort of sitting back, defending, and you've got a chance of staying up, but it's very, very difficult. Look at the likes of Fulham that play all this nice football, spent over £100 million, and then coming straight back down, do you know what I mean? So you think it's like a middle ground.
Well, Wolves are a good example, really.
Because I think even when they're in their Championship Wolves, or they had a Premier League team, so is it that Jorge Mendes, the agent that they've got? Yeah. They had Ruben Neves playing in the Championship. He's a top six player, do you know what I mean? So I think they're like one example, but you look at the other teams that have come up. Huddersfield, I was surprised that they survived, but obviously they're going back down this year. But I think there's a massive gap, Premier League to Championship now. I don't know whether it's the money involved or what, but the gap is huge.
Now, Andy, you wouldn't think that, look at him, he's a bit of a food snob. So I think I've been trying in the past to, I think we might try and get him up to Middlesbrough.
I'd love a Palmo, though.
Get him up.
Have you had one?
A late night, early hours in the morning, post pub.
Is it like
Palmo?
A veal or chicken escallop?
It's like the best thing to come out of Middlesbrough is like a delicacy. Everyone loves it around there. But I mean, it's so unhealthy. If I wasn't from there, I'd have the best six pack going, do you know?
And it's a bechamel sauce, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's calorific, isn't it?
But you're talking, I mean, 2,000-3,000 calories per one.
Good lord.
Yeah, so it's not
Elvis country, Andy. Yeah. That's what it is.
Serious.
But are they kind of gourmet? I mean, there's obviously the late night ones you get when you've been out, but are there kind of gourmet versions as well?
If you go to restaurants, you do get the better ones. But I mean, how good can it be?
It's chicken, I mean, a gourmet kebab, isn't it?
Yeah,
really?
Of course it is.
You know, it's a contradiction in terms, really, with respect.
That's really good.
Andy's saying, oh, you like the look of that?
Oh, yeah.
Like have a night
you'll have to come up for
have
one.
Have a night out in Stockton and take you somewhere nice. Fantastic. Tremendous. Sam, good to see you.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
So we can watch you in action in this game. Leeds United at Northampton this week. And the 19th of May is the game at Leeds. That must be the other great buzz, playing in these brilliant stadiums.
Fantastic. I mean, my first game that I played was at Hillsborough, so it's obviously unbelievable stadium, and obviously I've been used to going in the away end watching Middlesbrough there. Went there, scored twice, do you know what I mean? You score in front of the away end, you think it's fantastic,
that's
isn't
good.
It? You know, yeah, so it's really fun to
play. You played the Riverside yet? Or?
Not yet, no, I'd like to.
There we are, that was this afternoon's show. We return tomorrow from 1, Tim Vickery among our guests.
I should be so glad when the football season's over so I don't have to rant about Chelsea anymore. I've really
get out of your
system. I've even made myself sick.
Okay, well, maybe I'll be ranting about Spurs tomorrow after
Unlikely.
Brighton put their 4-0 past us. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.